This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
Are you willing to do more work to get the same results that you had in the past? The ones that accept it and understand it are the ones that are thriving right now. There's a lot of agents that I know that are crushing it right now. Hello and welcome back to the Color Money Podcast. Today I'm joined by one of my favorite people in this entire world, Mr. Emrick Pease. Good to see you, Unc.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
And today we're gonna have an honest conversation around what's happening in our world. What did we do the first 6 months of this year? And what's going to change the next second half of this year? We have a change in landscape in our industry right now. And we're going to have an honest conversation around how do you win? How do you build your investment portfolio? How do you sell houses? How do you just reflect and grow the second half of 2024? So, Emrick, what are you seeing in your market? So you run one of the biggest market centers in the country, and you see agents having successes and challenges kind of all over the place. What have you seen change in this landscape, and what do you think we go from here?
You know, that book, Who Moved the Cheese? The cheese has moved. And a lot of cheese has moved, and we're going back to that same spot. And the reality is that it's going to take a new person. My real question has been, you know, who are you willing to become to reinvent yourself for this new business landscape? And what I'm really seeing is just kind of sort of a back to the basics, something that you might not understand because, you know, 20 years ago, we had to do some things. We had to really get belly to belly, face to face. We had to have a lot more conversations. We just have to be more purposeful in our relationships because we're competing against so many other entities. We're competing against the internet leads. We're competing against the internet. We're competing against people's friends. We're competing against just the easy way, interest rates. We're competing
against institutional investors, all of them.
No, we're competing against lack of inventory. In our area in general, they say like we 20,000 listings short of where we normally would be. This is a different conversation. It's going to take a different person to persevere and to excel in this marketplace. And like I said, it's coming back to like 15, 20 years ago business, where it's a lot of hand-holding, not really hand-holding, it's a lot of personal interaction to build relationships where people have gotten adjusted to having internet relationships, Facebook relationships, Instagram relationships. And I'm not saying you can't initially connect with people with those relationships. However, there has to be an emotional sticky in where we're going right now, because there's so many things are emotion based right now. We have to do something different. And it's just, again, back to basics. It's like fundamental. It's like basketball. It's like football, any sport. If you're a basketball player, the fundamental says no matter how good of a player you are, right, that you slide your feet on defense and you square up on offense.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, those are the fundamentals. And it's the same way I'm thinking about from real estate. You're going to have personal connections to attract people, and you're going to have to connect with them more frequently to bring them into your space.
Yeah, the math has changed. Mm-hmm. How many times you need to be creating value for your clients for them and talk about real estate. You know, I think it's fascinating just being able to see, I mean, being in market center ownership, you get to see and hear a lot of things. You get to see all the results from all of the agents, who's winning, who's losing, who's up year over year, who's down. And I think one of the most fascinating things, even with some investors that we're working with, is just like, are you willing to do more work to get the same results that you had in the past?
And that's the scary part.
Oh, are you willing to do more work? And I think it's the ones that accept it and understand it are the ones that are thriving right now. There's a lot of agents that I know that are crushing it right now.
Yeah. And again, it comes back to that point of being fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
I've got a couple people that, you know, they're really in that space of that 3 hours a day of lead generation. they're really in that space and their businesses are taking off. They're into that high touch mode, that personal touch mode, that emotional sticky. Because at the end of the day, anybody can go to the internet and pull something off the computer. The question is, when they pull it up, are they going to call you or are they going to call that remote person that has no relationship with them? They just want to get what they get. And that's where we really have to form better relationships, because people can get whatever they want without calling us. We are no longer a necessity. And so you have to have that emotional sticky. So when they have that urge to call somebody else for something else, they're going to call you.
You mentioned a few times, build better relationships. In the society that we're in today, I think the relationships and interpersonal communication has completely dipped. Some fundamentals on how do you build good relationships with clients and other agents for that matter?
Well, the whole conversation, I believe that in a lot of places, we've gotten consumed with the word I in our dialogue instead of saying you. When I say you, if I say, Daniel, what I'd like to do for you is I'd like to sit down and talk to you so I can understand what's going on in your world so I can best help you. Mm-hmm. I said you four times. Now, your response to me would be what? This person is interested in me.
Yeah, he cares.
And so in that place of emotional sticky, we have to begin to change our dialogue so that there's no I in our dialogue. There's a you and your in the dialogue.
Yeah. I think a hack with that too. I say we a lot.
Right.
When you're talking with someone, we're going to do this or so we can find out what you're qualified for or whatnot. So I think the other thing, when you think about building relationships with people, it's using their name.
Yes.
It's simple. It's having conversations and trying to get 3-4 times where I say your name, Emmerich. It hits different.
Well, here's the deal. You know, what's the sweetest word that anyone likes to hear?
Their name.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing that we have to be really clear about in that emotional sticky is we have to have better listening skills.
Two ears and one mouth, right?
Use them proportionally. And so better listening skills, a lot of times, and again, that's fundamental, where we're not having a direct dialogue with the people who we're wishing to engage or we're wishing to help. The dialogue is about how can I get to my end goal as a person, instead of listening to what their motivations are, what their expectations are, and then what direction they want to travel. I believe that, like, a lot of times in that whole internet age, one of the things that we started to latch onto is I'm the professional and I'm going to tell you where you have to go and where I'm going to take you to get what you want to get, because it's going to help me spend less time with you. Right. So my objective is to help as many clients as possible and as little time as possible. And there's no relationship in that space.
Well, I think so many people don't go 2, 3, 4 levels deep on simple questions. What part of town do you want to live in? And then go 3-4 layers from there to really understand who is this person and what do they want exactly? I know you want a house in this area. I get it. But tell me more about the situation.
Right. And that, again, that's coming back to fundamentals. You know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we had to ask those questions because the internet was not our best friend. We couldn't do research to get as much information as we can get right now. And as it sits right now, hell, you can put something in ChatGPT and get all the answers.
All the answers. Translate too.
Exactly. And so in that space, that again, that emotional sticky, that personal contact, that's what it's going to take to move further. You know, whatever you didn't do in the past 6 months, in the past year, that's what you're going to have to do moving forward. The other thing with that, though, when we had that conversation, we got to have a conversation about inventory, just the amount of houses on the market and the whole idea of what are we going to do different? How are we going to get more business?
Well, it's both things are shrinking. Inventory shrinking or has shrunk and transaction count shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
We, over the last 10 years, Denver's seen, we sell about 36,000 to 38,000 single family homes a year. And last year, we're about 24,000. This year, we're supposed to be somewhere between 23,000 to 25,000. We're talking about 12,000 units pulled 30% of our transactions.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about that, 12,000 less transactions. Every transaction, there's two closing checks.
Yeah. Facts.
So you're really talking about 24,000 agents paid in a year. Facts. Like, how are you going to get that back? And so there's a lot of, this is a good transition to talk about inventory and like the market in a sense. Like, what do you think needs to change on how agents perceive listings or inventory? What are you seeing in your world?
We are seeing about a 35% decrease in transaction count. And the other thing that we're seeing is that the disparity or the disbursement of the business is changing. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The people that are doing the business are doing more business. The people who aren't doing business are doing less business. Yeah. And that's real because, again, we've been talking about this for a long time, being in a skill-based market. Your skill set is going to be critical in this place. And so what that's going to require, that's going to require more of us to go to places where we can get better educated, to have better conversations with our customers and clients, and to be more knowledgeable in the marketplace. And that's not something that we've had to do in the past 10 years almost.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 to 10 years, yeah.
You know, you want to buy a house? Sure. Anybody can sell a house. And a lot of times, a lot of people were saying, oh, some of my clients, they got their real estate license because I inspired them and they want to be a real estate agent. That ain't really the case. But a lot of times what they were saying is, if your dumb behind can do it, I can do it. So
absolutely. We're seeing people leave every single week mm-hmm. that are inactivating their license and, you know, going on to the other thing that they decided to do.
Uber.
It's expensive to be in real estate.
Uber, Lyft. Big time. And so when we're having this conversation, what do they have to do from your perspective? What does an agent have to do to grow their business or to get more business? And at this particular point in time, 2024, June and beyond, what are they going to have to do to get more business?
I think that you got to understand your math and realize that it's going to take more effort. Okay, well, what does more effort mean exactly?
Mm-hmm.
That means more open houses. That means more conversations. That means more I care calls. That means more handwritten letters. That means more Facebook DMs. That means more of everything you need to do to hopefully make the same amount of money that you made before. The wild part is when we look back over the last like 3 years, a lot of agents have made more money and have not had to work very hard. And now the transition is we're working really, really hard and we're making less money.
Yes. And, you know, that was one of the things I had a conversation a couple of days ago, and I was talking about an agent that, not a particular agent, agents in general, that 5-6 years ago, they were selling $6 million in real estate. Fast forward to 2023, and they still sold $6 million in real estate. And they believe that they're still doing the same thing that they did before. Their bills are being paid. Their mortgage are being paid. So they're looking at the volume and they're saying, well, I'm in the same place. I'm doing as good as I was 6 years ago. And that's not true. Prices have gone up 30, almost 40%, right? So that means that a $200,000 house is now $280,000.
Yeah.
You sold $6 million in real estate. So now you really did 15 transactions, right? Where before you were doing 20 transactions.
Right.
So if you did those same 20 transactions at today's prices,
right.
You'd be up 30%. And that's one thing that we have to take a look at. We have to look at that really, really carefully. And we have to educate agents to start looking at transactions or units and not volume. We're getting tricked by the volume right now.
Well, because the volume controls our paychecks. So the volume stays the same, then my income stays the same. But you realize that in a shrinking world, you're also shrinking.
Yes.
And so now, what is worse than not being able to hit your full potential? That's what I constantly think about.
Right.
Man. Like, whenever I want to quit, like, could my life be a lot easier and more and less stress? Like, yeah, I could get some of these black hairs back. You know, get my afro back.
I did notice your beard is looking a little more mature than it has in the past.
I'm catching you, Unc, and it's happening fast.
But and again, that just creates a different stress point for a lot of folks. And that idea that they're stuck in the volume number and not the transaction number,
yeah.
Right? because this is unfortunate in our industry. What's happened is that most agents produce to the level of their bills and their ability to go on vacation. Most agents, if they can pay their bills and go on vacation once a year, they're happy.
Happy. And even if that vacation happens with a family reunion.
Right. You know, it's crazy because, you know, when we start talking about where we are right now and doing the same thing is going to get you actually less results. We used to say doing the same thing is going to get you the same results. No, that's not true. Doing the same thing is going to get you less results in this climate of which we have to do business.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
Yeah, and I think how do you understand the market? I think that's one of the things that are changing too, mm-hmm. and communicating to sellers, like what your home is worth is not what a buyer is willing to pay for it in today's world.
Right.
It's crazy. And so we've got to do an evaluation on it. This is where I think your home is worth. And here's where I think we should probably price it to appeal to the consumer still, because the old days of your home is worth X and they pay over that and you win, we're in a different world now where now they're paying under.
Well, and here's the deal. That's because they've been conditioned to think about 4% interest rates. Yeah. Well, the reality is you're getting a 6% interest rate, which means your payment's going to go up about $900 to $1,000. Easy. So now your payment is up $1,000, sometimes even $2,000. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to pay that price for a $4,000 mortgage. If I can get my payment down to $3,500, maybe $3,200, I'll be happy. I can do that. I cannot do a $4,000 mortgage. That's the conversation.
It is. And I think as agents, as real estate professionals, communicating with your clients and letting them know some of the tricks of the trade, like how do we get a 4% rate? Well, we can do a 2-1 buy down.
Right.
We can do a permanent buy down. I'm consulting a lot of my clients I'm working with on the mortgage side right now. Of course, I don't know that interest rates are going to go down, but the thought of spending more money to buy down an interest rate today that might be that rate in 6 months just seems not very smart to me.
Right.
So I'm almost like, just be where you're at now, reduce the amount of cash to close that you have now, and we'll deal with your financing over the next 12 to 24 months.
And that's a great point. And the idea that is, again, the educated agent, a skill-based market. Yeah. That's a skillful conversation. And by the way, 20 years ago, we had to have that conversation, just to be clear. And so the conversation is coming back. Is again, it's back to fundamentals. The other thing, like when you're having that conversation and about people's skill building, most agents don't know and understand financing. The word correct. That they used to say was, I'm not the loan officer. Let me let you talk to the loan officer and they can give you all of that information. Yeah. Well, if you don't have any emotional sticky, they're not calling a loan officer. They're going to call another agent.
Oh, 100%. We're in the process of getting some of our agents licensed in the wake of the lawsuit.
Okay.
And helping you understand the full scope of being able to service your clients. If agents understood about discount points and closing costs and fees and taxes on new builds and 2-1 buy downs and like all some of the intricate details, they can save their client literally tens of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Literally.
Wow.
It's funny. Real estate agents and lenders are like oil and water.
Yes.
They just don't mix. That's not my side of the fence. I don't understand that.
Which is really a position of ignorance, to be honest with you. Because that is your side of the fence. When you have a client and you're servicing your client, you are a fiduciary to your client and your client asks you a finance question, you should know basic general finance. I didn't say you have to know how to process a loan. Right. You should be able to support them to ask the best questions to get them in the best direction. Because here's what happens. What we as real estate professionals do all the time is we refer them to a loan officer. So how do we know that we're referring them to the best place? If we're fiduciary, we have to understand and know that we're referring them to the best place to get a loan. Because at the end of the day, you can do all the work as a real estate professional. You go through a home inspection. You can find a house. You can go through all the negotiations. However, if the loan officer can't get them a loan, all your work is for naught.
If you think about a real estate agent, they understand title.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. They can review a title commitment and understand how to communicate effectively. But you put a closing disclosure in front of them and they just kind of freeze. I don't know what this means exactly. What are all these fees? I don't know. Yeah.
How does one invest now?
I still think it's housing. I still think it's houses. A lot of what me and my family are doing is we're moving our money out of single family investing. We're still flipping and doing some of that stuff, but we're focusing more on the cash flow game, more on multifamily.
Okay.
I think with the amount of people who need housing and as unaffordable as it is to buy a house, our entry level house here for the most part is a $3,000 payment.
Okay.
With a minimum down payment. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
That's a crazy high monthly payment for your entry level buyer. But I think you're always going to need those rentals. People need a place to stay. And in a rising rate environment, I think it's a pretty safe place to stay. And think about the cash flow game. I've been playing the net worth game for the last few years. And so as things pivot, the cash flow gets tight and things start getting kind of crazy.
Okay.
And so now this next go round, it's really only investing in cash flowing assets that allow you to get out of the rat race, that allow you to get out of the day to day. All of my life expenses are paid for by these investments.
I believe that it's still twofold. It is the cash flow game and it is the net worth game at the same time. It's just a slower net worth game.
Slower net worth game.
Okay.
I was lucky enough last week to spend some time with Gary Keller. And one of the things that he blew my mind, he goes, Daniel, I don't ever necessarily want to be the richest person on the planet. I want to be able to sleep the best. And so we were talking about leverage and we were talking about over leveraging your assets and reducing cash flow to go grow more net worth and buy more things, or play the longer game of paying off assets, increasing the cash flow, and then those assets will continue to grow over time as well. And so his communication around downturns and chaos, as you know, Gary's seen everything. And around downturns is if you're cash flowing on these assets and the downturn happens, there's not a lot that necessarily happens to you.
Right.
If you're over leveraged and you deal with a downturn, you're going to get destroyed. And so it changed my mind about thinking about money and how I think about money and how we think about the cash flow game we're working to play. And I don't know, it's exciting thinking about that and thinking about anything that we can buy that can create cash flow for us, how we can hack the homeownership game. By if we don't have 20% to put down an investment property, how else can we get it?
Right.
What else can we do to be able to attain homeownership and then continue to grow that portfolio?
I was in a session in Austin myself last week and something came up. It was just crazy. And it said less than 15% of real estate professionals own investment properties.
Wow.
That is crazy. So that comes back to this question that I've been saying for a long time. Are you buying what you're selling?
Yeah.
If home ownership or property ownership is so special, why don't you own property?
Yeah. Or learn, do your first flip or be along with one of your investors that flip and pick their brain on how do they evaluate it. I have a friend of mine that's getting ready to do their first flip and he's terrified. He's been an agent for like 15 years.
Wow.
And he's terrified. And I'm like, I got you. We'll go through this together. But we should have done more than one up until this part of his career.
This is hypothetical speaking. We are not speaking commissions.
We're not speaking commissions. We're going to talk bananas.
This is just bananas. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If you buy 200,000 bananas, right? And you collect a certain amount off of 200,000 bananas. And let's just say you make $8,000 off of 200,000 bananas. The person that you sold the bananas to is going to sell the bananas for $400,000. Right. And they're going to make $200,000 minus what they paid the workers to pick the bananas, which was $100,000. So they actually make $100,000 off the bananas.
Yeah.
Right? That you only made $6,000 off of.
Well, so it's changing your mindset, though, Emmerich. It's thinking about how can I go flip it first? Like, you're excited to get this to your investor if you can just get the listing once it's flipped.
Right.
And if he gives you the listing, like, man, you'll find every deal in the city for him.
Absolutely.
Come on. Come on.
That's the banana in the tailpipe. That's the Absolutely. Banana in the tailpipe. And for me, like, in my career, I've never liked working with investors because, you know, even if you are working with investors, investors are not emotionally attached to the outcome. So what may be a good deal for them today based on their cost of money may not be a good thing for them tomorrow. So you could have done all of that helping an investor, and the numbers don't work for him 3 weeks into the deal, a month into the deal. I believe that, you know, once you do your work, you're supposed to get paid. And you can't always say that with an investor. That's that end.
Yeah.
But more importantly, here's another challenge that most of us won't take the deal because we say we don't have the money. The real question is, who can I partner with to make this deal work? And we have to, just the same way we have a list of investors, as real estate professionals, we're going to have to start getting a list of partners.
Another thing Gary said is everything inside of his life, he has partners. He's partners with everything. The brokerage, the investments he has, the stuff he owns, his partnership with everybody with it. And I think I've done a lot of stuff by myself, and I'm coming back home thinking, man, how much bigger could my world be if I was really partnering with other people and sharing that growth together? What could that look like?
Well, I'm speaking from some experience here in some ways. I believe that we're so conditioned a lot of times where we did not have. We believe that the people who have, they own everything. So our focus a lot of time is on 100%. I want to own 100%. Mm-hmm. I want to have 100% control. I want to have 100% of access. I want 100%. And the reality is that when you have 100% control, you have 100% access, you also have 100% risk.
And 100% of the stress.
And 100% of the stress, yeah. That's a conversation that we have to have about partnerships. We have to figure out who we can partnership. And I say this all the time. Relationships will take you places money can't. Partnerships will take you places that you as an individual can't go.
I think this is a good part of wrapping up on just understanding that the industry is changing. The landscape is changing. Somebody moved the cheese and the cheese has changed.
Yes.
So how are you thinking about your business, your career, your ability to survive in this world? Are you looking yourself in the mirror and feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you looking yourself in the mirror saying, you know, I'm going to work a whole heck of a lot harder. I'm going to make less than I did last year. And I'm okay with it because the tide will swing again at some point.
We have to have a commitment to find out what is the fundamental basis of how we connect with our customers and clients, which really means I'm adding value to someone else's life.
Yeah.
How can I add value to someone else's life? The next conversation is, where do I get the information to become more skilled to articulate the value that I bring to someone else's life? And then the third part is, what's my commitment level, right, to bring value? What's my commitment level to find out where I can get the value? And what's my commitment level to really be engaged with the people who I believe that are important in my business to make this happen?
Good reflection times, good mid-year check-in.
We have to be more diligent and more vigilant on getting better. Don't wish it was easier. Focus on getting better. And that's what we're going to have to do. Focus on getting better because it's not going to get any easier.
I love that. Don't wish it was easier. Focus on getting better.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you all for listening.
Yes,
until next time, we'll see you guys soon.
Yes. All right, brother.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.